Amen. Thank you, ensemble. What a blessing. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I have made reference to this verse many, many times, but this, I believe, is the first time I've ever preached from this verse, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Right after the invitation, we will take up one more offering, a special offering for the Shepherd's Ministry. And I hope that you will have a part in that for Christmas gifts. And we do it kind of different years and different things this year. Just receive an offering and then let the shepherd staff purchase the gifts. And certainly you're welcome to come to the party and you'd enjoy it. I guarantee you would enjoy any shepherd's party. Just watching the folks and being involved in that. It is always a lot of fun. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I make reference to that verse, second part of that verse, often, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But as I mentioned, I do not believe I've ever preached it from the context of verse 5 and the fact that he says that don't be covetous and be content. And then he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Obviously, if he says to be content, we can be content. And if we would understand he'll never leave us nor forsake us, wouldn't that help us to be content? Seems like it would. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for the great music. And just for everyone being here, Lord, a great men's prayer time and testimonies were good. And Lord, a great service this morning. And God, it's just been a great week, really, a lot of good things. And we thank you for souls being saved and lives being changed. And we just look for you to do that now tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Whenever I'm involved with the shepherd's ministry and I get around the shepherd's folks, I think of contentment. I really do. I see a lot of content people. I see a lot of content folks with their lives. I see less hang-ups and less fretting and worrying about things. They're sinners just like all people, but there is a sense of contentment. There's a sense of contentment of someone who's in a wheelchair, a sense of contentment of someone who has to live in a group home. There's a sense with these dear folks of a contentment whereby sometimes somebody will make a statement like, I really feel bad that they are maybe in that situation, but they don't feel bad. And there's a contentment with that. And I really, it is convicting to me, and I hope that it is also convicting to you. And that's really why I'm preaching this message. The scripture here makes it very clear that it is God's will that we be content. He says it right here in verse 5, and be content with such things as ye have. God wants us to be content. God's people are to be content. A Christian is to be a person who is content. And lost will never be content till they get saved. It's not possible. It isn't possible for a lost person to be content. Now, they might be content with a house that they have, or they might be content with certain things. But as far as complete contentment, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you're never going to be content until you get saved, till you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. But a Christian, Jesus says here, very clearly, God makes it, there's no way to misunderstand it, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He has said, I'll never do it. I will not leave you or forsake you. What is it that we could possibly want more than that promise from God? What is it that you could possibly desire more? Well, if I could just have my way here, if I could have this there, if I could... No, listen, what could be bigger, what could be better than him saying, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? And really, that's the challenge tonight. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. No matter what, it's okay. By the way, it's not just it's gonna be okay, it is okay, because he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, there's a lot of Christians say, well, bless God, one of these days when it's all over, everything's going to be all right. It's all right now. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake. What's wrong with today? What's wrong with now? What is it about? You think God's asleep? You suppose God's not paying attention? That'll get you in all kinds of trouble because that's what happened to the Egyptians. God forgot about us. God, you should have just killed us in Egypt. God, you should have, you know, we missed the garlics, leeks, and melons. I mean, God, you don't care about us anymore. You don't care. Here we are out here and we're struggling. We're hot. We're tired. What was their problem? Discontent. They couldn't be content with, hey, we're free of Egypt. They couldn't be content with, I'm with you. I mean, all they had to do is look during the day, look at the pillar of a cloud. All they had to do is look at the pillar of fire. All they had to do is say, here's God, He's with us. But no, it's too hot. No, it's too cold. No, it's too rainy. No, it's too dry. No, we don't like this. No, our guts are growling. No, we don't like this manna. When we got the manna the first time, we liked it, but every day? I mean, we're tired of this stuff. I mean, we're talking about bread baked in heaven. But they got tired of that. Why? They became discontent because they forgot. He's with them. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. You and I, we get the same way, unfortunately. We forget that He's with us. You sit here tonight and you've been murmuring and complaining about things. You're not content with things. And you've forgotten who He is and that He hadn't left. He hasn't left you. He, you know, well, but my job situation, it's just not working out. What do you mean it's not? How do you know it's not working out? He didn't leave, did he? I mean, your company may leave town, but he hadn't left town. Amen. Boy, this is good. You know, it wasn't long after they left Egypt and they started being discontent. Well, it's too hot. Well, you know, I'm tired. Well, you know, this is it. Well, look, there's the Egyptians. Here they come. They're going to kill us all. What are we going to do? And the key is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You think God forgot? He can't forget. All He forgets is your sins. As far as the east is from the west, He removes them. I mean, you know, He doesn't forget that you're there. He hasn't forgotten that you have needs. He hasn't forgotten what you need, and He knows what you need, and He knows everything about us. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Uh-huh. He's there. He's there. Well, I remember when God was there, He didn't leave. Well, I'm just looking forward to one of these days, you know, it'll all be... No, He's still there. What an insult to God. Do you know, honestly, discontent is an insult to Almighty God. You know, complaining about things around us, that's an insult to Almighty God. Griping, murmuring about things going on that we don't necessarily like or even we may not even understand. It's an insult to Almighty God because He said this, right in context, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Huh? Amen. Well, I've gotten myself in a big mess. Yes, you have. But He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake you. You'd think that'd be when He'd leave. Huh? Everybody else will leave you. He won't. People desert you left and right when you get in trouble. He won't. I'll never leave thee, nor forsake. What do we have to complain about? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. He is a very present help in trouble. Several things I want you to see tonight. Number one is being content with the who's in life. Being content with the who's, W-H-O-S, who's, W-H-O, apostrophe S. Who's, and even that doesn't seem right, but I put it in there myself. Being content, and it may not have good, it may not be proper English, but it's preaching, and Sandy will give me a little room. What do you mean the who's in life? I mean like who are you? I mean who I am. I need to be content with who I am. Amen. Psalm 139 says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, wonderfully made. You were. Well, I don't like what I see when I look in. Okay, wash what you can. Comb what you have. Brush what you can. And be content. Amen. I mean, the who's of life are driving people crazy. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that you and I are made in the image of God Almighty. You look at, you know, and I hear people, you know, and I'll hear, well, I don't like the way I look. Don't insult God. I wish I looked like so-and-so. Don't insult God. You know, it's interesting. Some folks are tall and they wish they were short. Folks that are short wish they were tall. Some folks have big ears, according to their definition, and they wish they were smaller, but some folks with small ears wish they had bigger ears. I've heard people complain about their nose, and their nose is little compared to somebody else's nose. And I've seen people complain about a big nose and a little nose and big ears and little ears and tall and short and fat and skinny and gripe and complain about all those things. And the truth of the matter is, God made you. I know, guys, and if you comb over and all that, it doesn't matter to me, but why would you fret about your hair? Amen? I still laugh. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night laughing about, as a teenager, because I had bangs as a teenager, and I used to think, you know, when I get older, I'm going to have to be mature, and I'm going to have to comb my hair one way or the other. God dealt with all that. Yeah, I don't worry about it. Larry, every morning I don't own a comb. There is no combing over to even think about with me. Now, again, you know, well, I'm worried about all this. Listen, be content with the who's in life. Be content with who you are. Be content. Oh, you know, I wish I looked like so-and-so. Be content with who you are. You know, be content with the color of your skin. Yeah, I get so frustrated with folks. Be content with your teeth. I mean, you need to brush them, amen? But be content. Oh, if I just could look like so-and-so, then you'd have all of so-and-so's problems. You'd be amazed how many times somebody comes and say, oh, if I could just be like so-and-so, if I could just be like them, oh, everything would be all right. And so-and-so just left and their life's a mess. Why don't you just say, God, thank you for making me me. Amen? Just try that tonight. Lay down in bed, just say, God, I'm so glad I'm me. I'm so glad I am who I am. See, the key is this. Be content with what you can't control. Okay, who you were born to and your parents and the DNA and all that happened within that DNA and why you got an ear that's where your nose is supposed to be and your nose is where your ear is supposed to be. And you know, that's all God did that. God knows what He's doing. God's got it all figured out. Why do some people have glaucoma? Why can't some people walk? Why can't some people talk? Why can't some people hear? Why is that? That's up to God. That's in His control. I don't have any control. He made me the way that I am. And He made you the way that you are. And it's time for you and I, instead of griping and complaining about all the time, say, God, thank you. Thank you for making me the way that you made me. There are so many things that we can't control. You can't control who your parents were. You had no control in any of that. Okay? So God, I'm content. I'm content with my parents. I'm content with who I am. I remember in Bible college having to wrestle with that very thing. I'm going to Bible college with a whole bunch of kids grew up in church. They grew up, they were in the nursery, in the church nursery when they were little babies. I mean, when they were 5 years old, they were memorizing Bible verses, and I was taking my first smoke on a cigarette. I was tasting beer when I was 5 years old and puking it up. Those kids didn't know anything about any of that stuff, where I grew up. But you know, in Bible college, I said, thank you, God, for my mom and my dad. Some of you are going to gripe and blame your parents for all kinds of stuff. And you listen to me. You need to make friends with all of that and say, God, I'm content with that. I'm glad my parents are who my parents are. I needed whatever it was that happened. You know, hey, listen, I remember as a teenager waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and mom and dad are screaming and hollering at each other. And they're in the middle of getting a divorce. And I mean, it was terrible some of the time. But I'll be honest with you. I had to be content with that. Somewhere along the line, I had to say, hey, God, I'm sorry. I've been unthankful, and I've not been forgiving about my parents and how I grew up. And God, I had to get on an altar and had to fall on my face and say, God, if you're ever going to use me, I'm going to have to be content with who I am. Amen. I sat in preacher boys class, and, everybody introduced himself, and some of the guys, one fella got up, and he said, bless God, my name's so-and-so, and I'm from such-and-such Baptist church. My daddy's a pastor, and I'm going to be a pastor, and bless God, I'm going to preach the word. And I thought, man, if I had his voice, oh, I'd love to have that voice. And I stood up, and I said, hi,
hello,
wow. But somewhere along the line, I'd say, God, thank you for the voice you gave me. I'm glad I have a voice, and I'm glad you gave me my voice. I'm glad I don't have anybody else. I want me. I want to be me. Some of you need to get on the altar tonight and make friends with you. Because you're destroying your whole life. Content with the who. These are things you cannot control. You say, now here's something you say, but I'm not a good person. Now there you can start controlling that. Now you can do something about that. See, we don't need to be content with being backslidden. We don't need to be content with being an immature Christian. We can grow. We can do something about that. Amen. And we can grow. We can read our Bible. We can pray. We can get right with God. We can do what we need to do. And we can be everything that we can possibly be. But all along the way, with your nose, with your ears, with your height, with your weight, with all of that, Jesus says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Doesn't matter what your last name is. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Doesn't matter how you came to church tonight, how you came this morning, if you rode a bus, if you rode in a car, doesn't matter to him. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. If you're white tonight, if you're black tonight, if you're Spanish tonight, if you're green tonight, it doesn't matter. You know what he said? He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's so good. That's so good. Doesn't matter what your last name. Well, we're the Joneses. You know? And if everybody's impressed with that name, that's wonderful. But it doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter. God just said, you know, he says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Well, you know, we're born into a poor family. And you know what Jesus said? He said, that's all right, I'm a king. I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why there's folks running around here that are content because they got a hold of the who's of life. You need to be content with the who's in life. Number two, you need to be content with the where's in life. Be content with the where's in life. You know, folks in the South say it's too hot. Folks in the North say it's too cold. Right? Folks say it's too rainy. Other folks say we don't have enough rain. We just sang a song. He sends the sunshine and the rain. Who sends it? Yeah, we have no control over it, do we? None. Not at all. No control. By the way, I've been in the South where it's hot. I've been in the North where it's cold. And you know what? You need to be content. Now, the Bible says, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But I don't think he meant Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. We'll get to that in a minute. But you know what? Here's the most important thing about being content with the wares in life. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're born in Michigan, you didn't have any control over that. You wherever you were born, if you were born in Haiti, as KK, what, no control over that? It's just where you're born. Huh? But you know, there comes a question that has to be asked in reference to being content, and that is this: are you where God wants you to be? Because that is the most important thing about being content, okay? If you're born there, that's His control. But then His steps are ordered by Him. Amen? So He orders your steps, and He says, step here, step here, walk here. Walk here, walk here, step here, turn right, turn left, stop, wait here, now go. And He orders our steps. I was talking to Hilberto and Eddie Berto. That's pretty good, isn't it? Huh? Heal and Eddie. But I was talking to them the other night, and they were asking me questions like this. They haven't been saved very long. They're kind of wondering, how do you know what God wants you to do? He tells you. It's like, you know what I want you to do because I'm going to tell you. It's like a child knows what his parents want him to do because the parents say, wash the dishes! And they do it. Well, or they get a timeout. That'll teach him. But it's not in the notes. But the point is, wherever you have no control over where you're born. Okay, so be content with that. But after that, the most important thing about contentment as far as where is, are you where God wants you to be? Because until you are, you won't be content. It's not possible. Okay? He orders our steps. The steps of the Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord to where? Well, he's going to order your steps to where you will be content. Guaranteed. But all along there, he says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he says, I'll guide you if you will just go where I tell you to go. And that's how we can be content with the wares in life. See, here's the thing. The reason a lot of people aren't content is they're not where they're supposed to be. God led the children of Israel. He led them to the Red Sea with the Egyptians after them with all their weapons. God led them to be trapped. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there may have been two or three of them, maybe a Flavius and a Thaddeus or somebody. Maybe they took their families and said, I ain't staying here. And they took off. I don't know. Seems like a typical Baptist congregation. When the going gets tough, we leave. But I'll be honest with you. God led them there. And I'm sure there were some that were standing around saying, we all going to die, we going to die, we going to die. I mean, it looked that way, but God led them there, right? And I'm sure there was somebody. It all started with somebody. And pretty soon they were texting it all around the congregation. We gonna die. Where is God? See that big cloud right there? It looks kind of like a tornado with light in it. There he is. And then they texted at night and said, we still gonna die. Where is God? Well, see that big fiery, big bright fiery tornado there? He's still there. Yeah, but we see the Egyptians. And there's the Red Sea. We're all gonna but then there were some folks that were sitting there by the campfire that night, and they said, "Boy, God sure is good, and He got us out of Egypt." There he is. Look at God. There's God. There's that pillar of fire. God's watching over. He's got it all under control. Huh? What about the Red Sea? What about the Red Sea? He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. I'd rather go with God into the Red Sea than hang around the Egyptians. Well, I just don't know where God is. Oh, you've been reading people's blogs and their Facebooks. You just need to read the Word of God. I'm going to tell you how you're content with the where. It's when you get content with the Word. And you can say, did God put you where you are? Amen. Because if He didn't, you blew it somewhere, buddy. And if God puts you where you are, and it's between a rock and a hard place, well, praise God. It's kind of tight here, but that's all right. Old Jonathan and his armor bearer, you know, there they are. The Bible says they're between a rock and a hard place. What are we going to do? So they attack the enemy. Instead of going, what are we going to do? You know, they attack the enemy and win. Maybe God wanted them between the rock and the hard place. Obviously, God wanted the children of Israel between the Egyptians between the Egyptians and the Red Sea. Obviously, He did. Why? Why would God put me in this position? Well, He wants to part the Red Sea. Every one of us would love to see that, wouldn't we? Every one of us, and we older folks, we remember back in the old days watching the Ten Commandments, and Charlton Heston parted the Red Sea. You know what I'm talking about. You remember it, don't you? How many of you know what I'm talking about? But we want to see that real. And I'm looking forward to getting, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get on the big screen. And I'm going to say, God, I want to see that happen. Truth of the matter is, many of us can give testimony of God doing that in our lives. But a whole bunch can't, because we were with Flavius and Thaddeus and their people that all blogged each other back and forth that it just wasn't going to work out, and we're in a bad place and we're between a rock and a hard place. This can't be God's will. It just can't be bad. No, it can't. All things work together for good, the Bible says. Let Him work! Amen. Amen. Boy, this is good stuff. So He parted the Red Sea, and many miss out. He led Elijah to the brook Cherith, and He told him, the ravens will feed thee there. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he thought the ravens was probably a new restaurant. Oh, yeah, a raven restaurant. Yeah, that sounds good. I bet they have a raven burger. Man, I bet that'll be a good place. God's going to take me to the brook Cherith. And there's a drought because, well, I pretty much preached that there would be. And God's going to take care of me by the brook Cherith at the Raven Restaurant. Boy, this is going to be good. And when he got there, there wasn't a restaurant. There wasn't even a little snack shop. There wasn't even a Speedway. I can't believe people get hot dogs at Speedway. I just don't understand. There was nothing. There wasn't a 7-Eleven. There was nothing. There were no 7-Elevens, so we know that Islam wasn't there yet. That's bad. Back that recording up just a little bit. What you say, well, why do you suppose Elijah went there? Well, because God said, I'm going to take care of you there. And sure enough, I mean, there he is. And I don't know what all happened. I just know ravens are scavengers, and they went out and found a dead something and brought it to him, and somehow it got cooked and he ate it. I thought that myself, but they just brought him food, the ravens. And they dropped a sack lunch on him. Don't ask me. That's just how it happened. Amen? I would think probably it was fruit or something like that. But in my mind, I'm always thinking T-bone steak. Amen. God's good. Amen. Not that fruit's not good. But you know, it wasn't long and the brook dried up, the Bible says. Read the story. It's such a good story. How'd you get there, Elijah? God told me to go there. Uh-huh. Where did he tell you to go? There. He told you to go somewhere where the brook's going to dry up. And we need water because our bodies are a huge portion of it is water. Yeah. God must not have known. Oh, God knew the brook would dry up. Remember the preacher preached? Elijah was the one that said there's going to be a drought, and pretty soon it just makes sense. The brook's going to dry up. But see, Elijah didn't get on his Facebook to find out what to do. See, here's what he did. He just said, well, God said I'm going to take care of you. And when the brook dried up, God said, now go to Zarephath, and a widow woman's going to take care of you there. A widow woman? What's she have? God said, it doesn't matter. That's where you're going to go. And you know what? There, Elijah, by the way, ravens bringing you food to eat, that's a pretty good thing. God did that. And this widow woman, God gave another miracle with the miracle of meal and oil that never ran out. I don't know. I often wonder how many Elijahs, how many of us, you know, all over, how many of us miss out on the ravens feeding us, and we miss out on the miracle of the meal and the oil because we don't want to deal with a where that we don't understand. Guaranteed, in this room, there's people missing out on a mission field you should be on. And you've missed out. And every day you're not where you're supposed to be, you're missing out. And it's, you know, you say, well, I'm just not content with things. And there's a reason for that. Because you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not where God wants you to be. And you miss out because you've not let God lead you where. And I'm going to tell you where it all starts. It starts right here at the altar. That's where it always starts. Because that's where the wares of life, that's where they all start right there. What do you want me to do, God? Where do you want me to be, God? You young people, and by the way, this isn't just for young people. There's older people in this room tonight. You're discontent because you're not where you're supposed to be. I talked to a guy in his 60s. Never forget this. He came to me and he said, you know, I'm absolutely miserable. And I said, you know, you serve God. You do things in our church. And I said, why are you miserable? He said, because years ago, God called me to preach. And I didn't go. He's in his 60s when he told me that. And he said, now I've got a business. Now I've got all these things. I can't do what God wanted me to do. And he said, I've been miserable ever since. You know, I'm just telling you, that's why some folks are just, you're miserable. We need to be content with the wheres in life. Number three, we need to be content with the what's in life. The what's in life. Philippians 4:11. Go there real quick. Philippians 4, verse 11. If it's any consolation, I am on the back page. That means absolutely nothing. But if it gives you hope, that's good. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, Paul said, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, what he's talking talking about what has happened to him. He said, whatever's happened to me, I'm content. I'm content with that. Whatever's happened to you, we need to be content with that. You know, whatever's happened to me, I need to be content with that. I don't like everything that's happened, but I need to be content with that. I sometimes get with God and I say, God, I don't understand why this happened. God says, hey, you need to be content with that. You need to learn to trust me. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So whatever has happened to you, be content with that. Now, what are the things that are in God's control? Well, sickness is God's control. The economy, certainly God has a control over that. I mean, honestly, we can blame the Democrats so much, but God's allowed things to happen. Hello. I mean, I don't agree with some of the decisions, and I don't think we ought to just print money and not have backing for it, you know, and just spend and spend and spend and spend. I can't even imagine 25 years from now with the debts and everything. I think the Antichrist will inherit it all. But here's the thing. You know, those are things God controls. This, you know, if we're sick and economy situations, all that, you know, we just have to trust Him in that and be content with those things. Well, I can't do what I... Yeah, but you may not... Obviously, you must not need to do that. You know, it does have an effect. But the truth of the matter is, we need to realize, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, and we need to trust Him. Now, there are some things that have happened to us, or some things that have happened to me that are my fault. There are some things that have happened to you that are your fault. Maybe you're lazy. Maybe you need to be chastened. Maybe you've been foolish or whatever. But you know what? It's still true that I'll never leave thee. Hello? You've done something stupid ever? Jesus says, I'll never leave thee. Wait a minute. You and I have backslidden from Him. He says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I'm always there. How many times has He bailed you out of a mess? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That's why we should be content. We should be content if we reap what we sow. We should be content with that. Amen. That doesn't mean it's not painful. But understand this, God is merciful and God is gracious. David said when he had three choices of punishment, he said, let me now fall into the hand of the Lord. Why? Because he trusted Him. Don't let men have me. Don't let pestilence have me. I'm just going to, God, you take care of it. Why? Because he knew God was merciful. And God was gracious. Hey, last time you backslid, why didn't God just make you into one great big greasy spot? He could. But you know what's amazing? He bailed you out. You were in trouble, and He got you out. Isn't that something? I see why all this stuff has... How about God... You're in control. I've messed up. I call upon your mercy and your grace. And just help me be content. Help me be content. Look real quick. Psalm 77, verse 3. I must needs hurry. Psalm 77, verse 3. Here's a good verse. Write it down. I remembered God and was troubled. But look what he says. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. When was his spirit overwhelmed? When he complained. You know why you're so overwhelmed tonight? Because you haven't made peace with the what's in life. There's folks constant. We live in a society that's looking to blame everybody. Well, it's the Republicans. Well, it's the Democrats. Well, it's this person. Well, it's that. How about this, God? It is what it is. And I'm content with your will. 1 Samuel 22:2. Here's a group of folks. Start at verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And watch this. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, sounds familiar. And everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Boy, these guys, bunch of discontented people. Bet that was quite the group. Well, they made a captain over him. And it was a man that just happened to be a man that was after God's own heart. And a man that taught them how to be content. And a man that taught them how to overcome their discontent so that they became David's mighty men. Yeah, these guys were a mess. But they made a captain over them. Now, here's what God says in Hebrews 13:5. He says, you know what? You need a captain. You need somebody to get you out of your discontentment. You need somebody to stop your murmuring and your complaining and your griping about all the things in life you don't like. I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I'll be your captain. Content with the what's in life. What has happened to us? What I have. Oh, if we could just be content with that. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. I said 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. That's what I like, people paying attention. 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Just keep your place here. Go with me to Job 121. I just read this past week as I was reading through the Bible. Job 1 and verse 21. Here's what Job said. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What do you have tonight? What do you have? Everybody seems to have clothes on. That's good. What if we all had to wear hospital gowns? Now, I don't, you know, some people have not, maybe because of you tried to do things your own way and you got in a mess or something like that, or maybe God has just allowed things to happen. I don't know. But here's the thing we all need to look at is this. Whatever we have is more than we deserve. It's more than we had when we were born. When you were born, you were naked as a jaybird. You had nothing. absolutely nothing. In fact, when you were born, you got smacked. Well, if I could just drive, if I could just have, if I could just... Yeah, remember, let your conversation be without covetousness. Quit looking at what everybody else has. And be content with what you have. And then another what in life, the what's in life, what's happened to me, what I have. And then the third what is what I can do. What I can do. Be content. 1 Corinthians 12:11, I'm working on a message about our abilities, and I'll be preaching that real soon. 1 Corinthians 12:11. So I don't want to sneak into that message any. But notice what the Bible says here. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God divides gifts. God makes some so they can sing, some can preach, some can teach, some can do all, you know, I mean, he divides the gifts as he chooses to do. Now, we are limited there. I mean, honestly, there are some folks here, I've heard you sing. And bless your heart, I'm glad you smile. No one around you is, but I'm glad you are. But I, you know, and some folks can play a musical instrument. I don't know how anybody plays a piano. Honestly, I do not know how you can play a piano. Of course, I type with one finger all over the keyboard. And but I'm just, I don't understand that at all. And there's an ability there. God gives a gift to people. God gives a gift so that they are able to do that. But that's up to Him. What you can do, there are some things that are up to God. But here's one thing I promise you. You have unlimited ability to do all that you can do. It's unlimited. Whatever you can do all of it. How do you know that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That doesn't mean somebody who's tone deaf is ever going to sing. You know what it means? It means whatever they can do it all the way. Because they can do something. Be content with what you can do. I know folks that have whined, complained, griped all their life about what they can't do. And guess what? They never did anything. But you know, there's folks that say, well, I can't do that, but here's what I can do. I'm going to do it 100%. I wish you'd do that. So many focus on what they can't do. They never do anything. Be great at what you can do. And remember this, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Let me close with number four. First of all, I said we need to be content with the who's in life. Number two, we need to be content with the where's in life. Number three, we need to be content with the what's in life. And number four, we need to be content with the when's in life. Timing is everything. And it's amazing to watch. Folks who are young wish they were old. I still can remember as a 12, 13, 14-year-old, I mean, the talk every day with my buddies was, yeah, I can't wait till we get our license. Yeah, boy, when we're 16, better yet, when we're 18, we'll be free. We'll be able to do whatever we want to do then. I still hear us sitting around there talking. I remember going up in the treehouse, and we'd sit up around that tree, and we'd talk about that stuff. Yeah, when do we get our license? Well, if we had our license, we could do this. Yeah, boy, first one gets their license, we're going to be able to really do everything then. What were we hoping for? We just couldn't wait till we got older. Isn't it amazing? Then you get older and you, boy, if I could just be young again. Poor Brother Kelvin trying to get up this platform. There was a day he could have leaped from halfway between here and the pew and he'd have made it up here. Now he barely could crawl up here. He's just getting so old. Remember we were little and we'd go on a trip. When are we going to get there? We were trying to hurry time along, weren't we? Yeah. Wouldn't you love to stop time? Yeah. How many of you have said to your kids, I wish I could just put a little winder thing in you and just stop you right where you are right now? Because I don't want to see you grow up. I said this recently. I looked in the mirror and I saw my dad as I remember him when he was old. And I looked in the mirror and said, Dad, what are you doing here? Isn't that something? Now understand this. How can you be content with the wins in life? Well, if you're old, you were young. You were. By the way, if you're old, you still are. You still are here. Amen? And by the way, if you're young, you will be old. Here's what Paul said. Here's how he dealt with it. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But he said, I sure like the present here with the people I love. And he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. What's he saying? He's saying, it'd be good to be in heaven. It's good to be here. I'll just be content with where I am. By the way, it's not like we have a choice. Right? Right? Amen. We can't stop aging. Amen. We're not going to stop death. The Bible said we don't have any control over that. It's appointed unto man. There's an appointment. It's already on a calendar, your day, my day. It's already there. The rapture could take place. We can't stop any of those things. And so let's be content with the wins in life. Be content. Amen. Be content with right now. And because right now, here's what he said. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm looking for the rapture anytime. Praise God. That'd be wonderful. But if not, he's still here with me. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content. Be content tonight. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I said this earlier, you will not be content with anything. You'll be miserable. And I wish you would trust Christ. I wish you'd be born again. I wish you'd ask Jesus into your heart and be saved. Christian, though, mostly I've been talking to you. You murmur, complain, you get all upset, you're grouchy, because you're just not content. Get right with the fact that Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. With heads bowed, with eyes closed. How many tonight would say, Preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something in my life. I need to make a decision. God's speaking to me about something. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Just slip it up. Pray for me. Father, help us to be content. Help us not to murmur, not to complain. God, we insult you when we do. Help us to be content with the who's and the what's and the when's and the where's of life. And to recognize there are many things out of our control, but yet the things that are in our control, may we move forward according to your will so that we can be content. And I pray we'll trust you and we'll believe, God, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If you have a decision to make, as the instruments play, God's speaking to your heart, and you need to pray about something, you come.